At the parish I served in Roanoke, Virginia, St. John's Episcopal Church downtown, we had a partnership with the Virginia Tech Medical School, which was also located in Roanoke. At the end of each spring semester, med school faculty and first-year medical students gathered in the St. John's Church Memorial Garden. And together we interred in that sacred ground the cremated remains of those who had donated their bodies to medical education. It was a lovely service. It was planned by the medical students with very little guidance from me. Doctors in training treated the ashes of those cadavers with reverence. Students and faculty of varied faiths prayed side by side. The identities of the cremated donors were unknown to those of us who gathered in that garden, and they're unknown still. The only thing that we knew about them was that at the end of their mortal lives, they determined to give the entirety of themselves so that young medical students could train. Virginia Tech doctors settle at some of the finest hospitals across this country. Who knows? Someday you may find yourself being stitched up in the emergency room, the attending physician's skill with needle and thread, having been first formed by the sacrifice of a man or a woman, interred in the St. John's Garden. But that's all we knew. We weren't aware of the donors' family backgrounds, their professions, their religious faith, their loves or their passions. And for a long time, that troubled and preoccupied me. I wanted to know those people. I wanted to know how they made the decision to give of themselves so radically. Keep those good people in your mind as we continue through this sermon. In today's reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, we hear what some scholars believe, many scholars believe, is the oldest passage in the entire New Testament. St. Paul likely heard it elsewhere. He may have written it himself. But in his conversation with the Philippians today, he determines to quote it. It is a hymn about Jesus. And it goes like this. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It has been said, and I believe, I know that Bob Simpson agrees with me here, that some of the most awesome, most incomprehensible truths are best conveyed through music. And this hymn, which was likely originally set to a chant, certainly fits that bill. In just a few lines, it captures the very essence of Christian belief, that which makes Christianity stunningly different from all other religious faiths. And that essence is this, that God, the one who crafts the galaxies and creates quantum physics, and gives the azaleas bloom, and fills a baby's lungs with that first breath. That God emptied God's self in the person of Jesus, living among us as one who would experience the basest and the worst that humanity can do to humanity. After creating a universe in which human life is possible, and after giving breath to that very life, in Jesus, God chose to give of God's self completely to us without reserve. Now, how we make sense of this is what keeps people like me from joining the ranks of the unemployed. But the fact of this truth has given and still gives the deepest comfort to people of faith, people who are struggling in this world, people who are grieving in this world. Every day, its realization changes people. As the hymn in Philippians continues, therefore, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. See, it's not because of God's majesty, and it's not because of God's power, but because God emptied God's self of these things for us. Because God preferred to know us as and where we are and not sit remotely on some throne in the highest heaven. That's why we know that Jesus is God incarnate and not some pretender. We praise Jesus as Lord, as the one who claims our hearts and claims our lives because of that. That's the therefore of St. Paul's hymn. In fact, Paul prefaces that hymn today with the exhortation, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul is challenging the Christians at Philippi. He's saying, this is who God is. You want to know how much God's heart yearns for you? You want to know how desperately God loves you? You want to know what God gives to you? The answer is everything. And how do we respond to that? How do we return that grace, that love? Well, Paul says, by letting our hearts and minds be like Jesus. By emptying ourselves, by giving God the all of us, by giving to God everything. I'll never know the identities of those people that we interred in the St. John's Memorial Garden. But I have come to believe that I know something about them. I suspect that their final act was a sacrament, a symbol of the way that they had lived their lives. In the end, they gave away everything. The eyes that had gazed upon their children, the hearts that had loved, the arms that had embraced. Whether or not they claimed the Christian faith, I suspect that they would have understood Paul's hymn in Philippians. Paul adds today, quote, let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Indeed, at the last, the people in that memorial garden gave everything. But I'll wager that they did the same at the first. I suspect that they lived as they died, giving the all of who they were in life for the interest of others, in recognition of the profound grace in their lives. Well, friends, we here do claim the Christian faith explicitly every week. And today, St. Paul sings to us the truth at the center of that faith. In Christ, God has given everything to us. And we are to give everything back. But how do we begin? in a culture, our culture, that rebels against this very notion, that immediately seeks inside of us to rationalize in a way that instills the mantra, me first, from every quarter. What first step can we take? Well, that is, in the end, what stewardship is all about. It is the first step, the way that we begin to orient our entire lives to God's priorities rather than our own. Stewardship is the sacramental way. It's the outward and visible symbol by which we begin to allow our hearts and minds to be formed like those of Christ. Biblically, stewardship is not just giving something back to God. It is giving the first and best back to God. What the Bible calls the first fruits of our labor. And when we encounter the grace and freedom of giving to God the best and the first of us, we soon discover that giving God the remainder, that following the way of Jesus in our entire lives, it becomes infinitely easier. And so here at the beginning of our Every Member Canvas, I pledge to do this. And I pray that you will too. To the instruments of the church, I will give back to God in 2018 10% of my income. Before I consider anything else in my budget for next year, I will give to God these first fruits. And my prayer is that this emptying will slowly but surely help me to realize the Lord of my life, the one who created the galaxies and who gives the azaleas bloom and who puts every breath in my children's lungs and who beyond all of that gave everything to me in God's incarnate Son. It is my prayer for all of us, and in our Every Member Canvas this year, I pray that you will join me. Amen.